Blog Talk Radio. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how are you? It is 5 o'clock here on the west coast of California in Los Angeles, more specifically Encino. I can't be any more specific than that because I don't want anybody stalking me. Just joking. Hey, hope everything is cool. It's cool here. It's been an amazing week. Finishing it up with the trip tomorrow to Vegas for the NXL. The NXL is the largest speedball tournament event that we have in our community. And Vegas is where they start their tour. Vegas and then Dallas and then Atlanta. I think it ends up in Florida for World Cup. That's it. Tomorrow it starts. Well, actually, it's probably starting right now. Maybe, I don't know. For me, tomorrow it starts. I'm driving tomorrow morning. I'll take you guys with me. We'll do some Facebook Live. You'll get to see some of the beautiful areas around there. I did it last year, too. I'll be hitting some like Baker, the world's biggest thermometer, the Alien 51 thing, all that kind of crap. It'll be fantastic. Travel. Hey, travel. That's what the show's about tonight. Travel. Yeah. I'm going to talk about travel. And it's going to be a PSA, public service announcement. Now, it's going to be hopefully, if you haven't traveled, it'll help you out. If you already travel, maybe I can give you some hints. If you're a seasoned traveler, welcome. I don't know. That's kind of cool. I just kind of like came up with the idea the other day. I was like, I think I should do a thing about travel talk about all the places and things that I've done. I can't do it all in one show, but we'll see what I can get accomplished. You guys know I like to talk, so we'll see what I can do. Tonight's show is brought to you by GI Sports, one of my biggest sponsors. I have over 450 sponsors, and they're my biggest. It was Tippmann until Tippmann got swallowed by GI, and then I became part of GI, and I'm loving it ever since. GI Sports, they're actually connected with the NXL that's happening this weekend in Vegas, and they're the ones who treat me so special. Every place that I go, they say, give us a list of where you would like to go, and what I usually do is just wait for the park owners to say, hey, can you make it? And I start building my tour from there, and then GI sends me out. Everybody's happy. I do my dog and pony show, and hopefully we sell more tickets. We raise awareness. We do charity, whatever we need to do to make all y'all in this community happy, I'm in. Whatever it is, I'm in. You guys know that. So I want to give big – no, I'm not having a stroke. I just had some Chinese food. I had some sweet and sour, hot and sour soup. It's fantastic. Those Chinese are amazing with their soups. Everybody's amazing with their soups. I want to give a big shout-out to Brian Bates. Hey, Brian, my friend in Canada. He's actually about 15 minutes from Detroit, the border. So is he really Canadian? Yeah, he is. And his wife is about to have another baby, another future paintballer. So congratulations, you guys. And he's such a cool cat. So hello, Brian Bates. Okay, so travel. Lordy. Where do I start? Okay, let me do this. I've been traveling a lot, even as a kid. Before they had airplanes, just joking. I've been traveling a lot. To me, travel is a state of mind. It doesn't matter if it's if I'm going to Japan or if I'm going to San Francisco. It's just a stage that you're in, a frame of mind, a way that you look at something. So, the farthest I think I've traveled, I don't know if Japan was farther or Israel was farther, but it's a matter of sitting in the plane maybe for 15, 17 hours, and then you're like, Jesus, what am I supposed to do for that? I mean, I'm stuck there. Well, that's a frame of mind. Are you stuck there, or are you taking advantage of the situation and saying, I'm bringing a laptop, I can get so much stuff done. I can catch up on movies. I can organize my music. There's just tons of things you can do. Can't look at it just like, you know, you're staring out the window going, when is this going to land? You can't do that. It's you're ruining the whole adventure kind of thing. I've been traveling for a long time. I've been through several passports, it's an interesting It's an interesting thing about travel. It gets you to where you need to go. How about that? You can look at it as that way. You can look at it like an airplane, and the captain is a big bus driver, and he's flying 400, 300 passengers to wherever they need to go. You're going to look at it that way. But I'm always looking at it differently. I'm always looking at it like, you know, those stewardesses or the stewardesses, stewards, they've got a life. They've got to see us every day. Hello, how are you? Hi, I'm fine. And they're like sometimes glorified waiters and waitresses kind of thing. So you make their life easier on them by walking in and say, hey, how are you? Nice, like this. They're going to remember that guy in 7B that was like, hey, how are you? Or when they come over, you know, they're like, hey, and you go, are you, you know, I don't want to like bother you. I know I got my own snacks with me, and you know what? And so you start like building rapport with them, and they're going to remember you, and then they'll maybe give you some extra stuff, or maybe they'll say, hey, you know, there's room in first class. What? Yeah, it's happened to me. So, actually, 3 times I've flown in first class by asking and being nice. So it can happen. So anyway, I look deeper, like, you know, the pilot, this is like their job, and their co-pilot, and they've got like their, you know, they got to go back and forth to doing their thing. you probably got the lowest fare. Maybe you're sitting next to some guy that didn't know how to do that. So he's like, you know, you spent $75 for your seat, and he spent $300 for it. You don't tell him that, but, you know, you just we're all different. We're all in different positions in all different places. So what I'm trying to tell you guys is that when you fly, be of a good state of mind, even before you're, you know, traveling, just in life in general. But when you're flying, you know, you got to get to your destination. And if you start thinking like, this is the shit, I hate this thing, it's going to be bad. But if you say, hey, it's an adventure, I'm having a good time. And they always say that it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And they're all good for me. No matter what I do, it's all good for me. So I've been very fortunate to be able to be around our globe, different places, meeting different people and learning different languages and the culture and the food. That's just like amazing for me to be able to do that kind of stuff. So when I, 2008 first got involved in paintball, I was still traveling anyway. And then about 2010, 2008, I created the WTL, the Woods Ball Tournament League. 2009, I got it going out. You know, it was a solid thing. And in 2010, excuse me, I made DVDs of all the videos that we did. and I flew without knowing anything about anything. I flew to Georgia, to Atlanta, to the paintball extravaganza they had there. I brought my DVDs, and I walked around, and I showed everybody. And by that time, I'd gotten a little bit of heat because I was, you know, I was using two pistols and kind of like, I think I made a couple of videos. And then I was using Tiberius. And then I went to a paintball explosion, and there was Eric Garbers at the Tippmann booth. And he says, oh, yeah, you're that guy with two pistols. He goes, here, have our pistols. And he goes, we'll sponsor you. I said, cool, thanks. Right next door to them was the Hammerhead barrel place. They gave me so fine. So already I'm ahead of the game, right? I didn't know what to expect. I'm already ahead of the game. He gave me banners for my next event. And he said, let me know next time you have your next WTL and we'll sponsor. Done deal. So boom. The DVDs are like, nobody's interested in them. And I'm like, this is fantastic. So I got hooked up with Eric. I started, you know, everything was cool, blah, blah, blah. That was all good. And then I went back. I flew back, and that was pretty successful. So then I'm doing my thing. I'm just playing, you know, paintball, doing Reaper. I'm doing charity things, and I'm not thinking about who's thinking about becoming a celebrity. I just love what I'm doing, and I'm enjoying the medium of social media and doing all this other kind of like this. And then around 2014. The whole Reaper thing started coming together, and this guy, his name is Eric Zuli. That was one of them. But they did a charity event called the Peace Fund Games, and they had me come out, and I was kind of like the professional paintballer, and then they had like all these other celebrities. So I was kind of hanging out with them. It was all cool. Everything was fine. And then things started just rolling from there, just like, you know, bam, bam, bam. And then these offers started coming in. And then I went to Living Legends. It might have been 8. I'm not sure it was. And I already had this Reaper poster that Hidden Hedgehog Ashley made for me. And you guys have seen that. It's like the one that's, if you look on my page right now, you'll see it. That's like I'm standing in the apocalypse thing. And I go to Eric Garbers flies me out to Living Legends, which was CPX in Chicago. This was 2015, I think. And he flies me out there, and I'm getting, you know, some kind of heat. There's some people like, you know, like what I'm doing, that kind of thing. So Eric says, listen, just put a poster up in front of our tent and just hang out there and do, you know, sign autographs, do whatever you want to do. So I was. And then this guy shows up. His name is Romeo. And Romeo, he's part owner with TJ of Paintball Explosion. And he comes up to me and he goes, hey, are you that guy on the poster? I go, yeah. And he goes, okay, we're having a game called Clowns versus Zombies or something. It was one of those ones. And I want you to come. I'll pay for everything. Don't worry about it. I said, okay, cool. So I'm like, bam. And we finished this thing. And then while we're about to finish up, this is 2015, while we're about to finish up at Living Legends, I'm helping, you know, unpack and helping them, you know, I'm being part of the whole crew and everything like that. So Eric comes up to me. He goes, you know what? I'm going to introduce you to Brent Cunningham. He's our international sales guy. And, you know, maybe you guys will work it out. Let's see what happens. I go, okay, that's cool. So I fly back. And then about 2 weeks later, I get a message from Brent Cunningham. He goes, hey, this is Brent Cunningham. I'm the international sales guy for Tippmann. I really like what you're doing. I want to send you out to one of our games in France. And I said, Paris, France? Or we got some French, you know, Frances over here. He goes, no, Paris, France. He goes, is your passport up? Everything's cool? I said, yeah, that's all good. I said, okay. He goes, okay, well, we'll just send you the information. I said, cool. I told my wife, listen, I know I tell crazy stories, but you're not going to believe this one. And so she goes, that's crazy. I go, yeah, it is crazy. So I have just traveled domestically for paintball at that moment, and I didn't even know what to. I mean, I've been to Japan already, and I've been to like Israel, other places. I've been to Lebanon and Syria, and well, don't tell anybody Lebanon and Syria because I was there without my passport. if you know what I mean. And then Jordan and Egypt was with my passport. I've traveled all over the place. But this was like, you know, I got to pack my kit. I got to pack my, you know, helmet. I got to pack my Reaper stuff. I got to pack my guns. I mean, I'm like, what the hell? I don't know anything about this. So I jump on the plane, and I don't know. I've never met Brent Cunningham before. All I know is I'm supposed to fly into Belgium, and they give me an address. They give me the address of an apartment that's in Belgium. And they said, you got to take this train to do this and that. And I'm like, okay. So again, it's a frame of mind. I packed all my stuff, you know, I 50 pounds or whatever the international was. And I'm like, okay. And I'm on the plane, and I'm, you know, a bit excited because what am I getting myself into? I don't know. So we fly, and I'm flying there. I land in Belgium, and I immediately start, you know, asking questions. And this is what I need you guys to understand too, that, you know, don't feel lost. And even though everything might be in a different language, or, you know, and you're like, what? Was that my train? I don't know. So ask, you know, find someone who speaks English. Can you translate? Can you read? Yeah. Okay. And they say, listen, I need to get to this. Oh yeah. Get off on the fifth train station. Do this. Then I get, okay, cool. So fine. I land, I get my baggage. I go downstairs where the subway is. I'm looking at the different things, and I find where, you know, my destination is, and I get on the train. I pay. Now, there's a key right there. I pay. I'm not saying it the GI should pay. I'm not saying it that way, but I'm saying I had both dollars and Belgian money. So when I got off the plane, I could solve problems. It wasn't like, hey, can anybody change my $100 bill? I can't. Oh, I got to go left, right, center, and back. No, I already had Belgian money because I bought it here in the States, which you can. They have foreign exchange places, so I bought my Belgian money. And when I landed, I right there, I bought my ticket. I bought my I found someone to help me out with the scheduling. I bought my ticket. I had my money. I got on the train and taking the train. And about like a you know, an hour into it, I'm starting to look at, you know, okay, they said it's going to be this time, and I'm looking this. And I found my stop, and I got off, and this guy comes over to me, and he goes, David? I go, yeah. He goes, I'm Brent. I go, oh, dude. So now I've never met this guy before, but, you know, it's paintball. You have a friendly connection with this guy, and I'm like, wow, hey, like, yeah, how was the trip? You know, everybody else always asks the same question. How was the trip? Trip was fine. Everything was cool. I obviously made it here. Now, what it's showing to Brent is that obviously I got on the plane. I didn't. There was no freaking out. I landed. I figured out with my own way how to get to where he needed me to be. So that shows responsibility. That, you know, I'm not like calling him up and saying, I'm lost. Help me. No, it was, you know, you're showing integrity, responsibility. You're showing it. So I got picked up by him, and then we went back, and now we're in Belgium. It's a little town that's about, I don't know, maybe half an hour from France. And in Belgium, pretty much everybody that either speak Flemish, which is a smaller amount of people, but most of these people speak French, like when you go to Quebec. So they speak French. And he already Brent already spoke French, so like there's this connection there. And we call it the Anne Frank house, because it was like this apartment that was like, it had like a little small attic kind of thing on the very top. And GI had rented this apartment up there, and there was no elevator. You just clunk, 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 clunk with the bags all the way to the top. But all of this was building up to that amazing experience of like, wow, this is really cool. I can smell the smells, taste the taste, everything like that. So again, I jump on a plane. I don't know the guy who's picking me up. I've never been to Belgium, but it's okay. I'll figure it out. Bum, 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 dun, dun, dun. We do it, and we get there, and everything's cool. So now we're in Belgium, and we go to the main warehouse in Belgium. GI Sports had a main warehouse there, and we have like a day to kill. So they're like, well, you can. We're in like an industrial park. You can walk around if you want. I go, no, I'm here to help. So I did. I jumped in and I started doing inventory and sorting things and organizing and, you know, and just being part of the crew and hanging out. And again, giving back to those people who gave to me. So that was cool. So we hung out. We did a, you know, hung out. And then the next day we took a little tour of Belgium, and then we were off to France. And on the way to France, we went through Luxembourg. And they always say that don't blink. That's how small Luxembourg is. But we were off on our way to Luxembourg. We went to France. We went to the big game. That was kind of like obviously my first European trip for paintball. And people were like, yeah, it was like Reaper. Ah! I was like, wow, that's amazing. So, and I also have excuse me, an interview that I did while I was there. And we just had an amazing time. It was, oh my God, sorry. Oh, the soup is killing me. I'm going to drink some water. Fiji water. Anyway, so we had an amazing time. And I'll let you in on some personal stuff, which I always do anyway. But while I was there, we were at a hotel in France. And I get a call from my wife that my dad passed away. He was my stepdad, and he passed away. And we weren't close, and he was kind of sick. So, you know, it wasn't like, you know, he got hit by a bus and like, ah. So Brent said to me, listen, you can go home right now. I mean, you can skip the event, just go home. I said, no, I'm already here. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm already here. And we'll take care of this stuff when I get home. They said, okay, cool. So then we went to the event. And while we were at the event, you know, we hung out for a bit. And then Brent goes, hey, you want to go see the Vickering, the wall, the Maginot Line. It's this post-World War I, World War II line fortification that they built to keep out the Germans. It didn't work. They went around to Belgium. So, yeah, we went to go check out that. And he goes, you know, we're 10 minutes from Germany. You want to go check it out? I go, yeah. So we jump in a little mini bus and we go off into Germany and hang out there and just go around. That's how close everything kind of was. And then we come back and we do some more of the event. So in that little trip, we got a tour some of Germany, France, Belgium, Luxembourg. And again, GI was there, and I'm going to say they were there. Brent was there to make sure everything was cool. And I felt comfortable with them. They saw what I could do when I went to an event. They saw that, you know, you guys know what I do when I go to an event. So they said, wow, this guy is like, we got our money's worth. You know? It's not like I was flown in there and I'm like eating frog legs and caviar in the parking lot and saying, well, I wonder how the game is going. No, I was, and so I was in there and they were all like, yeah, this is our guy. So anyway, it was cool. And that kind of started our relationship with GI and, the whole where we are today kind of thing. So, yeah. So, to be able to hit that many countries at one time, to be able just to hang out with people was fantastic. So far, just from paintball, I've been to 9 countries, 13 states. Some of the countries I've been to multiple times, like Germany and Canada and Mexico. And some of the states, obviously, multiple times too. I think the most is probably Illinois, maybe followed by Michigan. I think Illinois is like 10 times. Michigan, I think, is 7. And these are places that I wouldn't have gone normally, but because we're, you know, part of this GI package and the tour and everything like that, it happens. So when I'm traveling, again, I'm always trying to think about the big picture. Who are my hosts? What am I doing here in this situation? Why am I going there? What can I do to make everybody in the situation happy and make this thing work out fantastic? And so that's kind of like my frame of mind. And when you guys know that I'm always doing promos, I try to do promos like, you know, maybe 3 months out, 4 months out. And I've got like 16 events, maybe 17 events this year, every year that I do it. But I'm always juggling. I'll go down the list and I'll go, okay, Hell Survivors. Okay, I got to do that one. And I got to do a Euro Big Game and I got to do this. And I keep on doing these things. And I'm also doing it too, like rock bands. Like a lot of times DJs will play rock bands music before the event happens. So you'll, you know, oh, he's coming. Okay, that's great. You know, get the excitement building kind of thing. So I'm kind of doing the same thing, my shameless self-promotion. I'm trying to do the same thing about like, hey, I'm coming out. Blah, blah, blah. What can I do to help you? And let me promote your teams. And so it works. It's great. And everybody loves it. I'm happy with it. It's fantastic. So I've kind of developed this package. When I travel, I know what to pack. I have my big GI bag to pack with all my kit and everything in it. And then I have the smaller carry-on bag that I put all my souvenirs that I'm gonna bring with to for the players, banners and shirts and all that kind of stuff. And then it comes back empty. It's empty, but it comes back full with all the souvenirs they give me. So it's kind of a cool thing there. I have a backpack that I carry. So basically three bags. I have a backpack that I carry that has all my electronic items, iPad, that kind of stuff. So when I'm on the plane, I can watch things, you know, whatever. All my food's in the backpack. Wet wipes, very, very important, guys. Go buy wet wipes, the baby wipes, not the cheapy ones, but the real nice one that smell good. And then you'll notice you're flying on the plane. I don't know, maybe you're like 3 hours, 4 hours into it. Throw some of those wet wipes on your face, and it's like a little mini shower, and you're like, wow, that is cool. Again, don't suffer. It's not your job as a sufferer. Your job is to have an amazing time. Turbulence happens, right? What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. It happens. The pilot is not like going, yeah, let's ride this out, and let's see how many people get sick. That's not their job. Their job is to give you a smooth ride, so they'll either go above the weather or below the weather. They'll figure out what to do. Sometimes they're stuck, but for the majority of time, you know, you shouldn't be white knuckling it going, ah, I'm going to die. A guy next to you is praying. And then you ask him, are you praying for me or everybody? Who are you praying for? So just, it happens. So you can take medication if you want. I have this thing called Ativan, and it kind of like calms you down. You take too much, you're almost like a zombie. But if something really got really bad, I probably would take an Ativan, but yeah. Just relax and enjoy the trip. Okay, so flying, whether it's flying or driving, if I'm going to drive to Canada or drive to Mexico, you still need a passport. You should have one. I know that, like, I think the thing is 75 or 70% of Americans don't have passports. I guess people would say, well, if I'm never going to travel, why do I need a passport? Well, just in case, how about that? It's $145 to get a passport. It's good for 10 years. And if you have it and then somebody says out of the blue, hey, I choose you. I want to pay for you to fly to Puerto Vallarta or someplace, and we're leaving in 2 days. And you're like, what? No. I have the money. I like you as a person. You're a cool cat. I want to take you with me. And you're like, then you're like going through your head. Am I scared to fly? What's it like? And then you come up with this one. Oh, I don't have a passport. I don't have a passport. Yeah, I guess you don't. You can get a passport and that's going to be a couple of days. You probably go to the embassy whatever, but that is going to be a big hassle. So you don't have a passport, and I'm going to have to find another person. Sorry. So you can either tuck yourself in and go, yeah, see, that's why I don't need to fly. I don't need to travel. It would have sucked anyway. Fine. Or you could be the next guy I turn to and say, hey, da-da-da-da. And he goes, yeah, I'm in. I pass. Let's go. And he has this amazing adventure, right? Just hangs out with Reaper, has this amazing adventure, and that's it. Get your passport. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. That's all. Get a passport. $145. Takes about, I think, about 3 weeks, give or take. You can ask Roger Roger Weber. He just got his. How long it takes. You have to be 16 years or older to get your passport. But, yeah, go get a passport. Okay, cool. Like I said about foreign currency thing, before you travel, wherever you're going to go, not so much Mexico for us because our dollar is king. But, you know, like euro, when you have the I say Belgian money? I'm just thinking about that now. They are already into the euro system. My God, man, what am I thinking? All right, anyway, there are, I think Poland, I think, has their own currency. They don't, they're not part of the European financial system. I don't think they're part of the euro. So they had Schlotlicks or something. I remember I had to get that in 2014 when I was there. So anyway, yeah, Belgium is euro, so I apologize for that brain fart. Anyway, but yeah, when you go there, it's best to have, you know, the currency of the location. So go check that out before you leave. See if you can find some place that will, you know, get it for you. And obviously the place that you're going to get it at, they're going to charge you a percentage because they need money too. So, but it's just always good to have maybe $100 of whatever currency they have, which you can always change back to our money, you know, if it doesn't work out. I mean, if you don't need it all, that kind of thing. How many bags? Like I said, I carry three. You can carry, I know people that carry just a backpack and they have everything else shipped. However you want to do it is fine. But the biggest thing I recommend is don't overpack. That can be the worst thing. You should do a kind of a mental amount of time that you're there. So let's say it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, for me, that would be, I would bring four pair of socks, one extra, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, an extra pair of socks just in case. I wear a kilt, so I don't need to wear any pants when I'm playing. I do have one pair of pants that I wear when I go out at night, and some shirts, and then a warm jacket because the plane can get cold too. So even if it's summer, the plane can get cold. So just pack light. You don't need to, you know, go crazy. If you're going to be going longer term, like when I go to Germany or something like that, then I'm packing a little bit more. But most of the hotels have laundry facilities, so you can wash your clothes. You don't have to, like, you know, bring all the stuff and then have to bring all this dirty clothes back, whatever else. Just travel light. That's all I'm going to tell you. Just travel light. It's just a hell of a lot better than eating so much that you have no room to take home any souvenirs. You guys know that there's it's a weight limit. I think it's 40 international, 50 domestic, or it might be flipped on that. I think it's 50 domestic and 40 international, I think. How do you tell how much poundage you have? Well, you can lay it on a scale if you want, or you can do the you can weigh yourself and then grab the bag and then weigh yourself after that and see, you know, minus the difference kind of thing. You can also go to a place, I don't know, maybe like Best Buy or Fry's or something, and they have this like a fish hook kind of thing where you can, like, it's an electronic thing where you actually hook onto your bag and lift it up and it tells you how many pounds it is, which is great to carry all the time anyway, because if you're in a foreign country that doesn't have a scale and somebody's already given you a bunch of stuff to take back, it's not going to work. So go buy one of those little things. I think it's like $20 or something like that, but it's worth it. So you don't parlez-vous français, you don't sprechen Sie Deutsch, you don't habla espagnol, you don't salam chetori, you don't metaberi vrit, you don't, let me think of another one. Watashi wa Davidis, you don't speak Japanese, ni hao. Mo Sao, so Mandarin, maybe Cantonese is probably out of the picture too. Y'all, no, that's Texas. Sorry. you don't speak the language, and you're like, I'm going to get screwed. What am I going to do? How am I going to communicate? Well, they didn't have this when I was doing it, but if you have an iPhone, Google has Google Translate, where you can actually just like two things. You can either talk into it or have someone else talk into it, and it'll translate what they're saying. But you can also take a picture of things, like let's say a menu. If the menu's in a foreign language, it'll show you what the menu says in English. It's amazing. Google Translate. Or again, if you're you have to catch a train and you're looking at the subway lines, you don't know, and they're all in French or Spanish, put the phone up there, and Google will actually translate it for you to see what's going on. So you can learn some of the languages if you want. Just enough to say hello and how are you. Write them down phonetically. It's pretty simple. That's how I learned a lot of my languages, where you write them down phonetically. Japanese is watashiwa. Watashiwa. W-A-W-A-T-A-S-H-A. Watashiwa. Watashiwa David desu. My name is David, right? Write it down. People are going to be really kind of like blown away that you're at least trying to be part of the culture and the language and that kind of stuff. Write down, like, obviously they're going to repeat. I mean, they're going to say back to you and whatever, but you can just say to him, you can say, maybe you can say in their language. How about this? Ani Amerikai, ani lomi vini vrit, tigili, efo ze ha tachanat merkezit ba Tel Aviv. Okay. So I'm an American. I don't speak Hebrew. And can you tell me where the main bus station is in Tel Aviv, right? So they're hopefully going to hear that you're speaking English, and they're going to repeat back to you. Oh, okay, I like that. So it's just the little travel things you learn. And, you know, whatever. I was in Israel for 3 years. I do speak it. But sometimes you're going to get to a location where they're like, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. That's Arabic, and they don't speak Hebrew, and they don't want to speak Hebrew, and they don't like people to speak Hebrew, so you have to, like, you know, play a dumb American. Jordan, they don't speak Hebrew. Egypt, they don't speak Hebrew. You got to, you know, learn the language. That's up to you, but I'll, you know, that's another tip. Maybe you should learn the language if you want. I mean, not fully, but, you know, just enough to get by. Again, the big emphasis that I always tell people is don't be a baby. Take control of your situation. You get off the plane. You're not going to complain. You're like, okay, I'm supposed to be picked up at so-and-so time. The person's not here. Okay, cool. The big word is time. Give yourself plenty of time to get to the airport. You're supposed to be 2 or 3 hours before. Give yourself plenty of time when you land. And looking for your, you know, your ride, and your bags haven't come off yet. And this, whatever you do, just give yourself plenty of time. Just do it. That way you're not like running around the airport going, where's this? Where's that? Now, there are some times when you're doing layovers that you know, or like the plane's changing. You don't have time. You got to run. Okay, that's out of your control. But again, don't be a baby about it and go, oh, I'm going to miss my plane. There's other planes. Just relax, okay? Take control. Have a good time. I always do, or I ask the people to prepare where they're going to go, if they're going to be going to someplace in Europe. This is 2019, so they make maps of almost everything. You can get a map of the train station, of the airport, whatever you're going, and kind of like visualize it and go, okay, print it out and go, okay, I got it. Put it on your phone. Say, okay, I got it. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I'm supposed to go. That's where they're picking me up. And you feel more comfortable. You feel confident. It can be overwhelming getting into an airport and all you hear is just people walking back and forth in different languages and on the loudspeaker saying da 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 da, and you're looking at where the fuck do I start? But all of a sudden, if you prepared and you saw, oh, when you get out of off the plane, you make a left and you go down this walkway for half a mile and you do this and you do that, whatever. Okay. So prepare, figure out what you're doing, figure out where you're going, get all this stuff organized. Yeah. We've got our Germany trip coming up and I've got Roger Weber coming out with me and I've got Gene from Canada and a bunch of other people are coming out. And I'm acting as their chaperone. I'm acting as their guy that's there. Hey, it's Reaper. You know, you already know me. And, you know, we're going to get picked up at the airport. We're going to take a tour, da-da-da-da. But even if that happens, you know, you still got to take control. Don't just go, I don't know. No. Ask questions. Even ask questions about being the sightseeing and that kind of stuff. Involved. Enjoy the system. Be part of it. Be involved. And you're going to have an amazing time. One thing Gary Baum told me, every time you go to an event, if you go to lots of events, which I do, get there, pull off to the side for 10 minutes, wherever you are in the field, whatever, and just look around and take a deep breath in. 10 minutes. And go, yeah, okay, I'm in Quebec. Because Quebec kind of looks different, a little bit different than Ottawa. Montreal from Ottawa, that kind of thing. And obviously Ottawa from Alberta. And instead of things becoming just a blur, you take your time and breathe it in. So get off the plane, Germany, Belgium, France, Luxembourg, I don't care where you get off the plane, and look around and go, wow, I'm here. This is beautiful. I'm in. Don't start going, I missed my car. I missed my plane. No. Just soak it in. Have an amazing time. Just be one with what you're doing. You guys know what TSA stands for? Transportation Safety Administration, something like that? No, it doesn't stand for that. It stands for Take Shit Away. TSA, Take Shit Away. You know why? Because you're bringing in your Evian water. You're bringing in your too much liquid soap. You're bringing in your pistol. Yeah, I did that. I think you guys know that story. You're bringing in all this stuff, and they're like, oh, man, listen, drink your water before you go. Once you cross the TSA, there's places to buy water. If you got your snacks and whatever else, just make sure that they're tight. They're in like Ziploc bags. If you're going to be carrying baby powder, let people know that it's baby powder and that it's not cocaine. You can the same thing with liquid soap. Now, here's what's going to happen. You're going to walk up to TSA. They're going to say passport, looking at it. You have your thing. Okay, cool. Now what's happening? Well, if you go in the line, you're going to notice there's people that have never traveled before and they have like 18 pairs of clothes on and you're behind these people. And then they're going to like have to take everything off. Okay, then you go maybe go check out where the business guys are because they travel all the time. Maybe jump over to that line. Now, if you're going to jump over to that line, be part of that line. Get ready. Take your, you know, don't have a belt on. Get ready. Take your phone out of the case. Take your computer out, your iPad. Take everything out. Just get ready to go, right? And you're blah, 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 boom. And you're going through and you're just done. They're gonna X-ray your bag, and if they find something suspicious, they'll pull you over. And again, the key factor here is time. If you've given yourself enough time to deal with little road bumps like this, then you're like, okay, I'm not gonna miss my plane. It's cool. Take your time. Let me help you. Whatever. Done. Okay. That's just take your time. Now, I think it's $100 a year. I'm not sure exactly what it is. You have to get a background check. It's called TSA PreCheck. And sometimes you get that for free if you travel a lot. I was getting it for free last year. Basically, TSA PreCheck is there's the line that with all the steerage and the people and whatever. Then there's another line that you don't have to take any, and you basically just leave your shoes on, and they're considering you not a risk. So you can just zoom through, and sometimes you're like, you know, that they won't even really check your bag. You might want to, if you're going to travel a lot, TSA PreCheck. Check that out. So one time last year I was flying to Canada in June for D-Day. June was also, my daughter was graduating. So we went to the graduation, and I had my ticket for that night, and I postponed as long as I could. And, you know, we're like, you know, I'm calculating the time from the airport to my house, and can I make it? And da, da, da. And I told, listen, I got to go. I got to catch this flight. So fine. So we go take an Uber, bam. I get to the airport. The plane is going to leave in about 45 minutes. Now, that's usually the time that they close the ticketing area that they'll check in the bags for you. So I got up there just in time and I said, hey, can you check in my bags? No, we're closed. We can't do it. But if you want to, you can take your bags through TSA. And if TSA is good to go, then they'll hold the plane. We'll tell them to hold the plane for you. You get to the jetway. We'll load your bags there. It's good to go. Okay, great idea. I'm running up to TSA. Again, time wasn't on my side this time, but I had a legitimate excuse. Family first. And I put my bags up there, and I was the only person around. It was like kind of like, you know, 10 o'clock at night or something like that. I was the only person around that area. And I told the guy, listen, hey, I play paintball. When in the x-ray it comes up, you're going to see Dave and Marie were going to give me TPXs when I was there. So the only gun I was actually bringing was my PPQ. And so I go, hey, when you see the x-ray, you're going to see a pistol. But it's not a real pistol. It's a paintball pistol. Guy goes, okay. They stop. He looks at me, and then he bends down below the case, and he presses his hidden button. And within 2 minutes, it's swarming with cops. Now, these are the airport cops. These are the ones that maybe they didn't get to become the regular cops, so they're airport cops, and they have no patience for anybody. And majority of them are black. Some Mexicans, some black, but most of them are minorities, and they're like looking at you as this, you know, white guy is like, ooh, who the fuck, what are you trying to get away with? You're a terrorist. And I'm like, no, man, it's all good. So all of a sudden, boom, these guys descend on me. The sergeant, this big black guy, he comes up and he goes, are these your bags? I go, yes, they are. And he goes, okay, do me a favor and turn around. Now, I know what this means now, but back then I didn't know what this meant because I've never been arrested. But to turn around would mean to turn with your back to him with your hands behind your back so they can handcuff you. And I go, okay, I'll turn around. So I did a 360, and I turned around and I came back and faced him. And he goes, what the fuck? I told you to turn around. Oh, like that. So he said, turn around again and stop. I did. He goes, hands behind your back. I put my hands behind my back. And they slapped the cuffs on me like they were slam dunking a basketball. It wasn't like a simple click, click. It was like crunch, crunch. I took pictures afterwards of the marks on my hands. And so for an hour, I'm detained. And they're asking me the same questions over and over again. And I'm showing them. And I'm like, finally, they let me go. Okay, yeah, you're obviously not a terrorist. Well, I also missed my plane. So there we go. What am I going to do? Well, I went home. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I stood back in line at Air Canada, and I told them what happened. And at first, they wanted to charge me extra for the ticket, and this. And then the supervisor came over and said, "No, don't worry about it." You know why? Because they're Canadians, and Canadians are cool. So he said, "Don't worry about it." So I got on the plane, and by this time, I'd already told Marie and Dave. And they're telling everybody in Canada, David got arrested, da da da, whatever. Anyway, when you fly, give yourself more time. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. I should have waited. It was my daughter's graduation, and I should have waited and just gone the next morning. But I didn't. I blew it. So do yourself a favor. Just give yourself time, plenty of time. So. That happened. So then another situation with the TSA, and this was the international TSA, was I was flying last year to Germany, and we made a stop in Ireland. And again, I don't fly with my pistols. I fly with the PPQ, but I don't fly with the regular pistols. So I'm flying to Ireland. And I get there, and we have about a three-hour layover, and I'm walking around because it's Ireland in my kilt, and I have a bag of Lucky Charms, and because they're magically delicious. No, because it's Ireland, and I was trying to make, you know, pictures. Hey, this is what America thinks of Ireland, you know, Lucky Charms. And I'm walking around, and I'm you know, just doing Facebook Live, and all of a sudden with the intercom, passenger David Justin, please see, you know, Aer Lingus. I went over to Aer Lingus, and I'm wearing a kilt, and so they said to me, could you please follow us? I go, yeah, sure. So I'm like, oh, maybe this is another upgrade to first class. Let's see what's going on. And we go into a room, and there's my bag. Actually, it's my daughter's bag because I didn't get my GI bag, my new one yet. So it was like a pink bag, this big pink inside bag kind of crazy thing. It was stuffed full of my stuff. And I'm looking now, and all of a sudden there's like two bobbies, or, you know, the English police guys. And there's three guys with, I don't know, Mac 10. I don't know what kind of guns they are, but they're like machine guns kind of thing. And they're like, do you mind if we look in your bag? I said, no, please, please. And they're looking at me like, what's with the kilt, man? And why do you have a pink bag? I mean, like, you like one of those, you know, you're from Los Angeles, huh? So, so they pull out they put a pencil through it, and they pull out the pistol, and they go, this is your pistol? I go, yeah, it's for paintball. And they go, well, we've never seen a paintball gun like this. I said, well, it's called MagFed, and look right next to it. See that? That's the paint. That's the .43 caliber paint. And where does the air go into? It's a 12 gram. Okay. And then what happens with the jewels? Now, I played paintball long enough, and I traveled enough with paintball that I knew what jewels were. Jewels is the way that they do FPSs. So, and I knew the number to give them, like something really low, because in Europe you can't have a certain amount of jewels. And also the gun has an F stamp on it, which means it's legal to use in Germany and Europe. So I'm showing them all that. So see the F stamp, and they're taking pictures of it. Then they're calling back to headquarters, and they're blah, 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 like this. And then again, because I had enough time, I wasn't sweating it. I'm like, okay. And there's probably other planes in Germany. So, the final decision would be up to Aer Lingus. And then Aer Lingus goes, well, you know, you should have declared it as a gun. And I said, well, it's paintball, and I thought you didn't have to. No worries, next time do it. I said, okay, I will. So fine, we pack up everything. I get on the plane. When I get off the plane in Germany, I'm escorted by two Germans, military guys. And I go, oh, well, this is not for first class. So they take me into another room, and they pop open my case. And I said, let me guess, Ireland told you that? And they go, yes, yes, yes. And I said, look, it's F stamp, it's okay. No, we just have to look. I said, okay, cool, that's all. I didn't have to pull my, I was going to pull the Jew card. I was going to go, I'm in Germany, I'm a Jew, what are you doing? Ah! I didn't have to do that because I was going to make them run scared. And anyway, so I got in, everything's cool. But again, because I had time on my side, I wasn't worried about it. It was all good. I'm going to have to be flying again with this gun. I love that gun, but it's getting me in so much trouble. Anyway, just declare it. If you're going to have any paintball gear or anything like that, put a big note in it like I do. I put a big note inside the bag saying, this is paintball gear. But they're talking about an actual paperwork declaration where you can fill it out. So whatever you got to do, do what you got to do, but just give yourself time. Dress comfortably on the flight. I always dress like I'm going to bed. Baggy clothes, pajama kind of things. Your shoes. If you guys have ever seen pictures of me, I always wear these like sandals that have like, they're Adidas sandals, and they have like these massage poker things. And they're good for several different things. First off, they're good for poking your feet because you're massaging your feet and keeping the blood circulation going. But also too, when I'm playing, and then like let's say that they're not taking me back to the hotel, I got to get back to the airplane, and I need to take a shower on the field. They're great for that because you can shower, and then you know your feet kind of are above the water kind of thing. So dress comfortably, wear baggy clothes, cottons, what's it called, baggy pants kind of thing. And there's a lot of people that are flying with compression socks. I've never done that, but you might want to think about that. Just kind of keeps the circulation going. A neck thing. Get one of those neck pillows, and they make a cool one now that kind of wraps around twice, so it keeps your head up. You don't have to like you know worry about that. Get a neck pillow. Get a noise cancellation headphones. They're about $100, but my God, my friends, if you get a little baby that's crying, you turn this thing on, and all of a sudden it's just all you just see is his mouth going. That's my hand going back and forth with no words coming out because you have noise cancelling headphones. Get those, okay, boys, something, whoever makes them, get those things. They're going to pay for themselves on the first trip. Okay. So those are, let me see what else. Seating. I always get window seats. I feel like I'm getting a little bit more space. Plus I can lean against something. I try to get window seats as much as possible. A lot of times where the bookers will ever just like, they'll just, whatever, got you the seat, whatever. And I'll just, okay, fine. I won't change it. If I'm booking my seats, I try to get a window seat. It's just that not only can you see the scenery, but again, you get a little bit more. You can lean against it. You can put your feet up on things. Try to get a window seat. Now, here's an upgrade you can think about. It's kind of a how do I say this? Okay, so you go and you say, hey, is the plane full? And they're always going to say yes, the plane's full. Fine, okay, cool. But it's really not. Towards the back of the plane, they usually have two rows that they leave open either for the stewardesses to sleep or whatever else. And it's like five seats. Now, I've done this several times. And what happens is you're a paying customer. So you can sit anywhere you want, even though you have an assigned seat. So I know that I'm already in like 16F on the window. Okay, cool. But I'll go to the very back of the plane and I'll sit in that row and just wait there. And I'll keep on waiting and waiting. And if nobody comes in and they shut the door, ba bing, ba boom, you've got five rows to your seat. You got five seats to yourself. Not only do you have five seats to yourself, you have five pillows, five blankets, five. You can watch five movies at one time. You could be like in Best Buy, whatever you want to do. But you can sleep. The people in first class, they're paying $9,500, whatever they're paying, to sleep. I'm also getting caviar and champagne, but the biggest perk is to sleep. Have you ever tried to sleep on a plane with just your seat? It's funky time, okay? But if you've got five seats, boom, like that, dude, you got more seats than you need. You got blankets under you're doing everything. It's just, you've got your iPad, your tablet connected to a USB. You've got constant movies. You forget about it, right? So try to do that. Don't do it on my flight because I'll wrestle you for it. But do it on the flight. Go in to the back of the plane and just hang out there. And just, you know, hopefully that, you know, nobody will come and claim it. Most people, 99% of the people, don't get up from their seats. This is my seat. It's on my thing. I'm doing. Or sometimes people, They'll be actually sitting across from an empty row and they won't even get out of their seat. Do it. Be aggressive. Do it. Take it. Got it? Walk around while you're flying. Get the circulation going in your legs. You'll feel much better. But just walk around. Use those spiky shoes, those spiky sandals I told you about. Wear those spiky sandals and just walk around. You're going to feel a lot better. Stretch, bend down, whatever. Just walk around. Get the juice flowing. How did I get to first class? The first time I did it, I learned I was traveling, like I said, a lot. So I would read a lot about like how to travel, what to do, you know. And one of the things it said was these little tips and tricks was ask if you can be put in first class, because the only thing they're going to say is either yes or no. And if they say yes, then hello. So it was 1995, six, something like that. I forgot what it was. And I was in Israel. I was flying back. I was flying back separately from the wife and the kids. We took different flights to come back. They were going to stay longer. I was flying Virgin Air. And and I had taken a lot of NyQuil because that was my elixir of choice before I got on the plane. So I'd be kind of like drowsy and sleepy. And so I'm like, I remembered, oh, I got to ask this. So I go to the front and they look at my ticket and I go, hey, is there any room in first class? And they said, no, like you're steerage, you know, you're like a peasant. What are you talking about? So, okay. And I go, I get on the plane. I'm sitting on the plane. And all of a sudden, here's another little inside baseball. Well, in Israel, they have a plant called GOT, G-O-T, and it's actually a Middle Eastern plant, and it gets you high. It doesn't get you high like LSD or like long term, you just chew on it, and everybody does it there. You just chew on it, and the juices start to flow, and you know it might last for 10 minutes, and then you could just chew some more and whatever. Okay, so I was going to bring some back to America, and so I packed it in my suitcase and everything like that, and everything was good. I'm sitting on the plane, and the stewardess comes up to me and he goes, "Are you David Justin?" I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Follow me." I'm like, "Oh shit, I got my God taken away." No, that's what I thought. So as we're walking, I'm thinking we're walking towards the door to get out. We pass the door, and now we're walking to the front of the plane, and now we're in first class. And he goes, "Here you go." I said, "What the fuck? Am I dreaming?" So I sat down, and there's only another couple there, and they look, well, they actually came from Texas, and they look like they came from Texas, and they've never been on a plane before. They're all wide-eyed. And so I'm sitting there, and it's just us three in first class. I turn to them, and I go, "Hey, have you guys ever been in first class before?" And they go, "No." And I said, "Oh, you're going to enjoy it." Like, I'm like, I've done it before. So, dude, I collected everything. I collected the menus. I collected the little shoes they gave you. Nobody's going to believe me. Nobody's going to believe this story. I collected – this was before iPhones. You could take pictures and shit like that. There was no selfies. I collected everything. And that was it. You can get a manicure, and everything's free. A manicure, pedicure, a massage, hot chocolate. I'm a big hot chocolate drinker. Lobster. Whatever you want, whatever's on the fucking menu. It was amazing. I mean, it's well worth the whatever, but also you sleep and you wake up and you're there. And the joke is always, cause you're in front of the nose, you get there first. Just joking. But anyway, ask. So then, the other time, was it in Japan? I was flying, I went to Japan and I was. Oh, that's like a whole nother story. But anyway, these really, really rich people, they sent me to Japan to do something with computers in 1995. And yeah, I got first class, JAL. And the last one was just last year. If you really want to call it first class, but it was on WestJet, which is the Alberta flight. It's about 2.5 hours. And, I'm getting on the plane, and as we're getting towards first class, there's this Ethiopian guy sitting in first class with a suit that doesn't fit him. And I said to the stewardess, I said, "Hey, is there any room in first class?" And she goes, "Well, let me see if everybody comes on, and then I'll." And then so I waited with her. No one else came on. She goes, "Okay." So I'm sitting down next to this Ethiopian guy, and I'm going like, "Hey, have you ever been on first class before?" He says, "No. They needed me to sit here, so I'm sitting here." I go, "Oh, well, you're going to enjoy it." So it turns out that he's Ethiopian, which we chatted about, but he's also Muslim. So Muslims, the Jews eat a thing called kosher, and the Muslims eat a thing called halal. Halal is their version of kosher. And this guy's serious about it, so he's not going to, like, they don't have that on a plane that's Alberta, and Alberta is pretty much country. They're not gonna have, like, you know, they don't even have kosher. So the guy couldn't eat anything, couldn't drink any. He just drank water. So we start to take off. I'm sitting in first class. Take pictures of it. You guys have seen the pictures if you, you know, whatever. And I'm like, "Yeah, look at me. I'm first class. Look at this. And look, and look." And because of the way the seating was, it had like two windows. I look, first class has two windows. And then what's that guy? The Terrence, what's the guy? He's the general T Lawrence. What is Lawrence? After I came back, and like about a week or two later, he was like all pissed off at me. He goes, "What are you doing? You're flying first class, and you're showing the world that you're like a diva, and GI's flying you first class." I said, "No, buddy, it's a travel hack. I asked, and they put me in there." He goes, "You're flying first class while Rome is burning." I said, "Listen to me," because he does that sometimes. He overtalks. I said, "It's a travel hack. You can do it too. Just ask. They can only say no, okay, or yes, whatever." So anyway, I'm on the plane, and she gives me the menu. She gives whatever his name is a menu, and I go, "Can you eat any of this stuff?" And he goes, "No." And I go, "Okay." So I start ordering for him. I start ordering for me, And then I start ordering beers for me, Molson and everything, because I'm flying to Canada. And I start ordering beers for him. And I go, do you mind? He goes, no. So she's coming out and she's bringing all this food. And I said, oh, I forgot to tell you, he can't eat any of this because he's Muslim. But I'll take it. So now I'm doubling up on the food. I'm doubling up on the beer. I'm like, it's only a 2.5-3 hour flight. But I'm like, eating it like this is all crazy. It's all good. So, again, just adventures. Just have a good time. Always ask, is there any room in first class? And be serious about it. Say, yeah, there is, and maybe there's not. But you know what? It beats regular flying. I don't eat the food on the plane except for that situation, because that was – you want to eat first-class food. I don't eat the other, stuff that comes in the whatever, the storage stuff. I bring my own stuff. I bring Clif Bars. I bring – think about this. Think about it as you were like a kid. And think about it like you're going to be in a situation for between 5 and 17 hours. And there's no doctors around. Well, maybe, on the plane, but you don't know about it. There's no wife. There's no kids. There's nothing. There's just you and hanging out. So spoil yourself. Go buy your favorite cookies. Go buy your favorite peanuts. Go buy whatever it is. Go buy it. Put them in Ziploc bags. And that's your treat, man. You've got like your iPad. You're watching all the movies, which hopefully you've downloaded, because you don't want to depend on their Wi-Fi. You've got all these movies you've downloaded. I've got all my war movies. I've got everything. You've got your cookies. You've got your drinks that you bought after you left TSA. So I've got my Snapple. I've got everything. I've got my straws. Dude, I'm like this little convenience store of stuff. And I don't need any. I don't need the stewardess. Would you like some ginger? Would you like? No. The only thing I ask them for sometimes is their cookies. You have these little cool cookies that they give out. Those are great. Go ahead and try those and you'll remember me next time. But I got everything taken care of. I'm eating my Clif Bars, eating my protein bars. I'm eating this kind of stuff. I don't want to eat their fish or their steak or whatever else. And I'm not going to go, I'm just going to put it to you this way. They're not cooking it on the plane. They're heating it on the plane, but they're not cooking it. So it's being cooked in some kind of, factory or someplace like that before it gets shipped to you kind of thing. I'm not saying it's not healthy or you're going to get sick. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I prefer to eat my stuff. So I do. I eat my own stuff. And what else? Spoil yourself with your favorite movies, things you got to catch up with. You're eating your snacks. You're just it's maybe if you want to take a sleeping pill. When you're flying to, let's say, Germany or something like that, try to get an overnighter. We call them red eyes, but basically you want to be able to fly sleep on the plane. So if the flight's 16 hours, 15 hours, whatever, and you can sleep like 8 of that, that's pretty cool, right? Do that. Try to get one of those planes that, the flights that do that. It'll be worth it for you. Another travel tip, it doesn't matter if you're trying to traveling to Mexico or if you're traveling to wherever, would be Pepto-Bismol or Tums, either one. Two things you can get. You can either get the liquid kind, which is really fast acting, or just the ones that dissolve when you eat them kind of thing. But it's kind of an important thing to have. You might have eaten something that is giving you like heartburn or burps or something like that, or you went to a restaurant in a foreign country and you're feeling like, oh, this is not. And you can't – where are you going to run? You're going to go to like 7-Eleven in Belgium, right, in Brussels. You're going to go to 7-Eleven in France and say, no, they don't have them. I mean, they might have some kind of convenience store, but – You're your own package. You're like your own convenience store. You've got everything. You've got your food. You've got your drinks. You've got your Pepto-Bismol. You've got your earplugs. You've got your music. You've got everything. You're just a little unit. You've got everything. You don't have to ask anybody for anything. It's the opposite. People are going to start to ask you, hey, are those the Nutter Butter Futter Rudder cookies? Man, sure, have one like this. You make friends with the guy next to you. Pretty cool? I think so. Yeah, traveling is crazy. But it's even crazier when you're unprepared. Now, sometimes you're going to be in that position where you have to hit the ground running and you're going to have to figure out things like this. But again, if you try to relieve as much pressure as possible when you're doing it and just say, okay, I can catch an Uber, I can catch a cab, I can do this, I'm not going to get worried, I'm not going to worry. Okay, fine. If you have to hit the ground running, you got to do it, you got to do it. Bathrooms. I've been to many bathrooms. I told you guys to buy wet wipes. Buy the expensive ones. They're like $4 or something like that. Buy two packages of them. You're traveling all over the place, and the plane gets hot and cold. You get stuffy. You can rub them on your face, which is fantastic too. But here's what I recommend that you do also. You land someplace, I don't know, wherever the trip is, and go to the bathroom. Use the bathroom facilities like you're supposed to. Try to get like the handicap stall if there's no other handicapped people, because it's like your little bedroom there. And then get some wet wipes and wipe yourself down. Have a little wet wipe shower, a little wet wipe pad down. Actually, on Shark Tank, this entrepreneur came up with this idea to do. I think they were almost like those microfiber size that we use, but they're wet wipes and they're disposable and they were like mini showers basically. It sounds funky, but it really is like wow. You're like wow. I feel like wow, refreshed. So again, instead of being the victim when you get off the plane of like, fuck, I'm wiped out, don't be the victim. Get off the plane, clean yourself up, and go, wow, I'm ready for whatever it is. It's cool. Hope you guys are enjoying this. It's like I'm slitting my wrist and letting all my travel stuff out. Jet lag. Jet lag is an interesting thing. There's a thing called melatonin you can take, which actually calms you down, but it's also supposed to help you with your jet lag. It's called melatonin. You can buy it at health food stores. I think you can buy it at like CVS Pharmacy. But basically what melatonin does is help you to your body to adjust to whatever clock you're on. Because of the amount of times that I fly, I'm not saying I don't get jet lag, but I don't have time to get jet lag. I'm flying to Germany, I land, I get picked up, and game on. I gotta be ready to do whatever I need to do. If you're like, no, I need like a day to sleep in to get my body caught up, it's not gonna work. If you're on vacation and you have like 4 weeks, yeah, sleep in one day. But I push my body to get caught up on my clock. So if I'm doing an overnight flight, and I arrive in the morning, like say 10 o'clock, and I get picked up. I'm onto the event. I'm doing whatever I need to do. I don't think about getting tired. I also don't do stimulants, though. I don't do like Red Bull and coffee. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't do drugs, and I don't do Red Bull and that kind of stuff. I might now and then, occasionally, just for fun, I might do like one of those. Coffee mocha something Starbucks for, but just a little bit. That's just like rocket fuel for me, just like a little bit. And so I don't like start smoking a cigarette when I get off the plane and go, okay, I got to get caught up. No, it's all mental game for me. I'm like, I'm here for a reason. I'm here to promote. I'm here to get this job done. Let's do it. Boom. And so I do it. You have time to sleep on the plane. You've got time to sleep when you get that night when you get home or back to your hotel or something like that. But I think it's a mental thing. So try to, get as much sleep as you can on the plane and to relax as much as possible. And that way you're not going to be stressed. Crazy? Yeah. So, hey, do you want to hear some music while I get a drink? Hold on a second. Check this out. Let me drink some, my Fiji water. And if you want to call George Norrie, it's open line. West of the Rockies, first-time callers. When we get back, we're going to talk about Bigfoot and abductions, psychic healing. George Norrie. Funny. AM 640. Hey, we're back. This part is sponsored by, who do we want to sponsor by? How about Team Tags? Speaking of Roger Weber, this segment is being going to be sponsored by Team Tags. Get your Team Tags. The duct tape is the devil. Get your Team Tags and go hit up Roger Weber either online or when you see him at the events. They're not that expensive. They'll last forever. You can actually put your other patches on them as well. They're cool. He's made a lot of them for me, for my personal use. And then when I travel, I take them with me either to Canada or to Germany or to Mexico. And these people love it. I did a whole batch one time for Europe, for Germany. And their logo for their teams on there, it went over well. In Mexico, I did a surprise for them. And they were just like overwhelmed. They're like, wow, this is fantastic. So Roger Weber with Team Tags. He can probably make anything you want. Go check it out. Go check out Roger Weber. Go check out Team Tags. So the other thing that I do to keep my sanity is because of the amount of time or the amount of places that I travel to, I use social media. You guys know that every time I travel someplace, I'm always doing Facebook Live. I'm doing it, I guess the word is vicariously through you, so you guys can do vicariously through me. Maybe because you're stuck someplace and you're never going to travel, you can't travel, or you know whatever else. And the 5,000 people, I don't know if they're like they're all as connected, but there's a big chunk of you guys that are connected to me and what I'm doing, my goal, my journey, my whatever I'm doing with this community kind of thing. And hopefully we've established a trust and I'm pretty transparent. So when I'm doing my Facebook Live, you know, you like, hey, there's David. Yeah. Like, you know, you've maybe hung out with me at a game before, or, you know, you've talked to me on Facebook, but you feel connected. So you feel like you're living with me while I'm doing this. And I'm very aware of that kind of stuff. So when I'm doing my Facebook Lives, I'm going to places and talking with people, and I think they'd be fun for you guys to do. But do that. When you go, don't be ashamed. Just do your Facebook Live, and your friends and family will be able to live that adventure with you. But not only that, you're also documenting it because Facebook saves it. You can download that as an MP4 file, but Facebook saves that. And so you're documenting your trip, basically. You're getting a chance to, you know, look at it and go, wow, this wasn't a big a mystery. It wasn't it didn't really happen. Then the other thing that I do is I take lots of pictures of lots of people, and then I create an album on Facebook. And then I say, you know, Euro Big Game 2018, whatever else. Well, it's nostalgic for me too, because I travel so much that like I get a chance now to go back and go, oh yeah, that was that. Blah, 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 blah. The worst thing you guys can do is not document your trip, not document your life when you're doing this kind of thing. Just do a personal thing. Take a picture next to a tank if you're in Germany, or if you're in Mexico. The EMTs, they're drinking beer too. Drink a beer with them. You know, whatever. Take a picture of it. It's just amazing. We've come to be such a society today where, you know, like if you don't take a picture or a video, it didn't happen. Well, it did. I was talking to Brian Bates today about when I went to Mexico in November, and when Wolf came out there, and Wolf was like the general for one thing, and we were doing my pistol event, my pistol challenge, and I shot about 50 guys, right, or they shot me, whatever. So then they were like, Wolf, Wolf, Wolf. And he's like, no, 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 I don't want to. You know, he's out of his comfort zone. And they were like, no, Wolf, you have to. So fine. So I give him one of my pistols, if you've seen the video, like almost 1,000 people have seen it, but you see the video, I'm standing there and I'm already dialed in, right? I'm already dialed in. I already know the human body, where it's at and where to pull my gun, and bam. So I'm yelling at him and I'm going, Wolf, put your phone away. Hide your phone. No, no, it's okay. I play like this all the time. I go, dude, please put your phone away. No, it's okay. Okay. So then he gets ready, and then he realizes that he doesn't want to get shot in the Huevos Rancheros. So he pulls out a rag and he puts it, you know, in his front of his junk. And 1, 2, 3, pull, and it flies by him. 1, 2, 3, pull, and I smack his phone. Lucky shot, hand of God, I aimed, who knows, whatever. It happened. They erupted. They went nuts. They went, ah, they went crazy. It's like, I'm a god, right? Fine. So it's how he responded to the thing that kind of like, you know, first he was kind of like, you know, oh, no, I do this, and bam, and he's, oh, no, it wasn't it. But people watch, people see, and it's all on video. So again, the world is watching what you're doing. So I'm very conscious of that. And so when I'm doing my videos, I'm conscious of you guys. I'm conscious of what's happening. And I am me on the radio show, in person, or playing the pistol event. Whatever I'm doing, I'm me. And if you shoot me, I'll hug you. I've got no ego in this thing. It doesn't work that way. So if there's a video someplace of somebody taking me out, hopefully the same video is going to show me coming up to you and giving you my Reaper card and say, hey, thank you very much. I'm just showing an example of Wolf. He was kind of like stunned, and then he was like, you know, don't be. You guys were out there. We're videotaping our lives. We're video everybody, and if we're not doing someone else is videotaping our lives. So that's the mindset you got to have when you're traveling. You got your iPhone, whatever else, and you're going to videotape your life, and you're going to say, look, I'm drinking a beer here in Germany at this, you know, at this little beer garden kind of thing, or I'm eating a tamale over here in Mexico, or I'm eating my poutine for the first time in Canada. Lucky Charms in Ireland, whatever it is, but you're documenting it. And there's people that want to see it. So do it. Document your stuff. Have a good time with it. And you're going to be upset if you don't do that. Another travel tip, if you like, always download your stuff that night. If you can, you bring a laptop, maybe a little laptop or something with you. And then download your stuff off your phone. So if your phone gets lost or broken or whatever else, you already have that, you know, pictures from that day kind of thing. Simple to do. Just download it. Bring some extra SD cards or thumb drives and save them. It'll save your stuff. Have some more Fiji water. Why am I mentioning Fiji water all the time? Ryan Greenspan turned me on to this. I thought he was being a diva. He's got, I can only drink Fiji water. I said, dude, come on. I said, there's 80 on what? He says, no, I'm serious. He goes, he starts explaining the benefits of it. And he starts saying that you'll see once you drink enough of it that it's going to change you. It's going to clean out your body. It's going to clean. There's a whole big thing, a whole science behind water. And the Fiji water is just amazing. I said, okay, I'll try it. So I've been drinking it. And yeah. I see it. I can taste it. I can feel it. He said he's even to the point where he doesn't use deodorant because his body doesn't throw off, you know, smell because of this, whatever. I don't know. Maybe he's detoxed himself so much. I got no idea, but Fiji water is pretty cool. keep yourself hydrated, whether you're, you guys know that already because you're paintball players, but keep yourself hydrated on the plane. Always constantly drink, even if you're not thirsty. When you're playing, when you're out there playing, you know, in the big game in Europe or something like that, keep yourself hydrated, whatever you do. Gum. I bring lots of gum with me, and I bring gum that's going to last a long time. they make this gum called, I think it's Gator gum or something like that. It's like made from Gatorade or something. It's amazing stuff. Use it on the plane. I use it when I play. It creates saliva, and it just gives you, you know, that like sometimes that like that extra, you know, no dry mouth kind of thing. So I think you can buy it at Big Five. I think they're like 15 cents a piece or something like that, but it's well worth it. I think it's called Gator gum. Check it out. What else? Because I travel with my spiked little sandal things, I don't take my shoes off and make everybody smell around me. My shoes are already in my socks. I wear my socks and my sandals, so it's already like that. So if I take my shoes off, nothing's going to smell, and it's easier to like relax with your shoes off too. And they slip on and easy off. Sometimes people say you need to wear shoes in case there's an accident on the plane and you need to whatever else. And maybe you're right. I'm kind of betting that it doesn't happen. So there's a thing called Airborne. It's kind of like a vitamin C preventative medicine type thing. And what happens with Airborne is if you take enough of it, supposedly what's supposed to happen is that it's supposed to prevent you from getting sick. I don't know if that's 100%. But the other thing that happens a lot of times is, you know, you're on a plane that has air that's been basically being circulated. And you've got that little fan, that little air vent in front of you that you put on. And it's, you know, hitting you directly with the air. I rarely get sick on planes, knock on wood, but I know that some people, even wear masks. They'll wear the surgical masks and stuff, so they don't get sick. Whatever. I believe in aromatherapy, and aromatherapy is you want something good to smell. Here's what I do. So you don't have to worry about, I don't know, and they make this aromatherapy that has some kind of herbs built in to prevent sickness, but you can use it in whatever if you want to use it. But one of the things that I do is like the pillows I told you, it's like those half moon pillows. I take one of those and I have a little spray bottle that's legal to fly with TSA, and I fill it full of it's called clean linen. It's a spray that you put on your clothes. Go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm telling you all these like LA things, but I don't know if they have it there where you are. Just get this stuff. It's called clean linen. What people do actually with this is they spray it on their clothes, and it actually makes it feel like you just washed your clothes. It's like, you can get all these different flavors, whatever you want. But I use a lot. I even use it when I play. I pour it, you know, put it in, like I'm smelling it sometimes when I'm playing. I'm like, wow, because it just puts you in a great, you know, state of mind. But imagine, right, you're wearing this pillow and you put some of that stuff on both sides of the pillow. So then that smell starts to come up while you're on this plane full of stinky people or whatever the situation is. But in your little area, in your little headspace, you're smelling fresh linen. You're smelling strawberry fields, whatever you want to put on. But it's amazing. Now, you can also do a little bit more, into it kind of thing if you want to, where you can actually put some stuff on those. They have nose plugs. Put some linen on, put that stuff on some nose plugs, put it in there, and you're smelling it. Crazy, right? All of these amazing things. So I hope this helped you. If you want to PM me, or if I'm, as I'm thinking, I'm trying to think if I hit all the bases, but if you want to PM me, you know, and say, hey, what about traveling with my tank? Yes, you got to take the tank off, the reg off. Traveling with my guns. Again, if you register everything and you put like big things in there saying, hey, these are this paintball equipment, and you know, if you got something you want to ask me about traveling, just let me know, and I'm there for you. So I supposedly am expecting a call from Sizzle. We're going to talk about this charity that he's doing, and let's see if he. See if he wants to call in. Wants to call in at 6:30. Maybe he's like on the dot kind of guy. I'll tell you in a second. Let me see if I can find him. What the hell's going on here? Hannah says that I'm not on the air. That would be funny if I just did an hour and a half of travel. Well, it's cool. But Hannah said it's not happening. So I'm going to have to listen back and see if it did it. So let me see if I can find Sizzle. See if we can get him to call in. Okay. Calling in. See what he said. Maybe he'll say the same thing. I just spoke for an hour and a half. What? Everybody said the same thing. What? For an hour and a half. Oh, well, if that's the case, the fuck. Okay, so I'm going to end it and have a good night because apparently this is not working. We'll find out. But I hope you enjoyed the show. Bye.